Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. So glad you're with me on this Friday, end of the week, heading into the weekend. It's going to be a great day. Now, today, Derek is going to courageously dive into one of those topics that really is controversial, the gift of tongues. You know, we don't have that much problem with the gift of faith or the word of knowledge. That one pretty much goes down easily. But tongues can actually cause a fight. But today, Derek's going to show us how biblical it is, how solid it is, how normal it is, biblically speaking, and how we can walk in it. And by the way, how essential it is. Thank God for the gift of tongues. We'll get us something to take notes with. Derek is in strong teaching mode in this series, and we want to get every word of it as Derek Prince teaches us on the gifts of the Spirit.
Yesterday, I spoke to you about the first of the vocal gifts, the gift of prophecy. Today I'm going to speak to you about the gift that many people find the most difficult to understand, the gift of tongues. We need to bear in mind that in the language of the New Testament, the word tongue also meant language. So you can call it the gift of tongues or you can call it the gift of languages. Usually it's referred to as the gift of unknown tongues, but in most cases in the original Greek, the word unknown is not actually there in the text, although the context indicates that it must have been an unknown tongue or an unknown language. Now, we need to look at some general principles about the tongue to understand some of the problems. The tongue is the problem member of the body. It's the one that causes at least 50% of all the problems in our lives. James 3:8 says, "No man can tame the tongue." No man can fully control his own tongue. What is our tongue given to us for? In the Psalms, David calls his tongue my glory. Why does he call it his glory? The answer is that the supreme purpose of the human tongue is to glorify God. That's the reason why a tongue was put in our mouth in the first place. Consequently, every use of the tongue that does not glorify God is a misuse. I doubt whether any of us on that basis would deny that we are frequently guilty of misusing our tongues. The answer is really that no human being can fully control his own tongue. That's why we have to have the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit to enable us to use our tongues aright. In Romans 6:13, Paul says, "Present your members as instruments of righteousness to God." In other words, we're to offer to God all the physical members of our body as instruments for Him to use. The most desperately urgent need is to present our tongue to God, because that's the member which, above all others, we cannot control. Now, the first actual instance of speaking in tongues that's recorded took place on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit descended. The waiting believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. The first immediate result was that they began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them to speak. This gathered a crowd of Jews from all over the Roman Empire who were there for the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost. The Jews understood the languages that the disciples were speaking, but they also knew that the disciples themselves did not. They were just Galileans. So we see clearly that speaking in another tongue or an unknown tongue means that a believer, through the supernatural direction and help of the Holy Spirit, speaks a language which he has not learned and does not understand, but could be understood if there was a person present who knew that language. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, and again in verse 28, Paul refers to this as kinds of tongues. I understand kinds to mean different uses or purposes of tongues. So I'm going to mention three specific different purposes of tongues. The first use, which I believe is primary and basic, is for direct personal communion with God. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, Paul says, "For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. for no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. That's very clear. When one speaks in an unknown tongue, one is not speaking to men, one is speaking to God, one is speaking from the spirit, one is speaking mysteries, that is, things that the natural understanding cannot fully comprehend. And two verses further on, Paul says, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, builds up himself. So though we do not intellectually understand what we are doing, when we are speaking to God in a tongue, we are speaking mysteries and we are building ourselves up spiritually. Paul goes on again in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I shall pray with the spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. I shall sing with the spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also. Paul indicates there is more than one way of praying. There's one way of praying with the spirit, when we do not know with our minds what we are saying. There's another way of praying with the mind, when our mind is fully aware of what we are saying. Paul says both ways are legitimate. We need both ways. He says, I shall pray with the spirit. He says, I shall pray with the mind also. The second use, or the second kind of tongues, is when an utterance is given out in a public assembly in an unknown tongue and is followed by the interpretation into a known tongue. When that happens, then the combined use of tongues plus interpretation is equivalent to the exercise of prophecy. However, in my talk tomorrow, I'm going to deal specifically with the interpretation of tongues, and so I won't go further with that particular use of tongues in my talk today. So I'll go on to the third use of an unknown tongue, or tongues, one which many people are not really very clear about. That is, an unknown tongue as a sign to unbelievers. In 1 Corinthians 14:22, Paul says, so then tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Notice that tongues are for a sign to unbelievers. What's the meaning of that? Well, let's go back for a moment to the day of Pentecost. What happened? The Holy Spirit came on the disciples. They were filled. They began to speak with tongues they did not know, unknown tongues. But the unbelievers round about, when they gathered, recognized the languages. And they were overwhelmed by the realization that these men spoke languages perfectly and fluently, which they themselves understood, but the man who was speaking them did not understand. And consequently, their attention was arrested, and they were made ready to receive the message that Peter went on to preach to them. So that's tongues as a sign to unbelievers. It's unusual, but it's something that has not ceased.
You know, there's a very important distinction to make about the word mystery in the Bible. In the ancient pagan religions, a mystery was something to be kept from the people. But in biblical language, a mystery is something that people don't know that God is eager to reveal. And so when we speak in tongues, we speak these very truths that God wants to reveal. In other words, tongues is a key to revelation. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you.
Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad you're with us on this Friday. We're in a series on the gifts of the Spirit, and Derek is specifically teaching us now on the gift of interpretation of tongues. Boy, there couldn't be much more controversial in the contemporary body of Christ. So let's listen as Derek brings some biblical truth to this whole matter of the gift of tongues.
Today I'm going to speak about the gift that goes directly with the gift of tongues. In fact, the gift I'm going to deal with today has no meaning apart from the gift of tongues. It's the gift of interpretation of tongues. By simple logic, there can be no need for the use of this gift of interpretation unless it has been preceded by a tongue, that is, an unknown tongue that needs to be interpreted. Let me first define interpretation in the light of that. Interpretation is the ability supernaturally given by the Holy Spirit to present in a known language the meaning of something that has previously been given out in an unknown language. Now, the person who brings the interpretation may be the same person who gave the utterance in the unknown tongue, or it may be another person. The Scripture leaves room for either possibility. Essentially, the purpose of interpretation of tongues, as thus defined, is the same as that of prophecy. For example, in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 4 and 5, Paul says this, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may receive edifying." The test of the use of these gifts is edifying. How much edifying do they achieve? Now, speaking in an unknown tongue edifies the one who speaks, but nobody else. But prophesying edifies the church, the assembled company of believers. Therefore, prophesying is said to be greater than speaking in tongues because it edifies a greater number of people. Now, when tongues is followed by interpretation, then the meaning of the tongue is communicated to the people who can hear and understand, and as a result, it accomplishes the same effect as prophesying would do, so it puts tongues plus interpretation essentially on the same level as prophesying. Then again, in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 12 and 13, Paul goes on to say this, "So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church." Notice the ultimate purpose is edification. Then he goes on to say, "Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret." Now, why should he pray that? Because he should be desiring to edify others beside himself. Speaking in a tongue, he edifies himself. But when he prophesies or when he interprets what he's spoken in a tongue, he edifies others. Now, you may say, well, isn't that rather strange that God will give first an unknown tongue and then an interpretation? Why couldn't God just give the prophecy or the interpretation straight away? Well, ultimately, I think there are some questions that we'll have to get answered direct from God. But let me give you three reasons why I see that this is practical. First of all, if God gives to one the utterance in an unknown tongue and to another the interpretation, he is promoting the interdependence of the members, and that's one of the great aims of gifts. Paul, after speaking about the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, goes on to speak about the body and its members, and one of his main points is that every member needs the other members. So when one speaks in a tongue, but the interpretation is given through another, each of those members needs the other for the final result. Secondly, generally speaking, speaking in a tongue that's not understood by the mind dethrones the human intellect and thus makes room for God's sovereignty. One of our problems in the church is that in many cases we've run things simply on the level of our own intellect. everything we had to work out and reason before we would accept it. But God operates on a higher level than our intellect. And one of the ways that God operates to bring us down from the enthroning of human intellect is to minister in an unknown language where the poor human mind has to step back and say, I just don't know what's being said. That's very good and very healthy for most of us who trust too much in our intellects. Another practical reason is that it sometimes happens in a meeting of God's people that people are not really attentive and ready to hear a prophetic utterance. But if first there comes an anointed, articulate, authoritative utterance in an unknown tongue, it arrests people's attention. They realize God is trying to get through and say something. And if people are properly trained in such a situation, when that kind of utterance comes in an unknown tongue, there should be silence, and everybody should be in a prayerful, attentive attitude, waiting and praying for the interpretation. So that's a third reason why sometimes it's practical for God to operate through a tongue and an interpretation and not merely through a prophecy, because people are not always ready to receive a prophecy, but a tongue will prepare the way for them to receive an interpretation. Now I'm going to look at the regulations for the exercise of both prophecy and interpretation, which Paul gives in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's important to understand that these gifts need to be regulated. Paul begins in verse 26, What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Notice again that the ultimate purpose is always edification. And through these supernatural gifts, when God's people to come together, each one can have something given from God to contribute. Nobody needs to sit by, passive and silent, just listening to other people. It makes every member of the body potentially active.
You know, we've just been taught that the ultimate purpose of tongues is edification. I want to tell you what that word is in the Greek. It's oikeidome. It means to build the house. Literally, when you pray in tongues, you're building up the house of your inner man. You're charging that inner spiritual battery. May God give us this gift afresh. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. We're in a series on the gifts of the Spirit. Let's just get right to it.
Paul goes on to say about speaking in a tongue. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at the most three, and each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Paul says, a public utterance in an unknown tongue is out of place in the assembly unless it's to be followed by interpretation. So a person who gives such an utterance either should be able to interpret himself or be confident that there is another person present who can give the interpretation. Otherwise, it's legitimate for that person to speak in a tongue, but not out loud. Paul says, let him speak to himself and to God. There are some people who just don't realize that it's not necessary to speak out loud in an unknown tongue. It's perfectly legitimate to do it to yourself. Paul says the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. That's very important. When a person is operating in the Holy Spirit, he's always in control of himself. This is a lesson that some of us have had to learn the hard way. A person who does something foolish and out of place and then blames it on the Holy Spirit and says, the Holy Spirit made me do it, is out of line with Scripture. The Holy Spirit never makes a child of God do something. The Apostle Peter said, the Holy Spirit bade me go. But he never said, the Holy Spirit made me go. Evil spirits will take over human personality and compel them to do things that they don't intend and are not responsible for, but the Holy Spirit will never do that to a person. And then it's all summed up in this statement, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So we see that the two ultimate objectives of Paul in these directions are, first of all, edification, building up, and secondly, order. Now I'd just like to say briefly how God gave me this gift of interpretation. I came out of a background of philosophy. I was ignorant of spiritual things, but the Lord Jesus revealed himself to me sovereignly and supernaturally and filled me with the Holy Spirit, and immediately I found I had this ability to speak in an unknown tongue. So every night as I lay in bed before I went to sleep, I would speak in an unknown tongue, and then I would find myself speaking in English. But I wasn't choosing the words that I was saying, and I was amazed at the things I was saying in English. So I turned to the New Testament because I didn't know where else to turn for an explanation, and I found these phrases, tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And I suddenly realized that God had given me this ability to interpret the tongue that he had previously given me. And I recall now the first time this ever happened to me, I spoke some words that amazed me and astonished me, but in those words, God gave me a brief preview of his plan for my life. Looking back almost 40 years later, I have to testify that what God showed me then through that gift of interpretation has been progressively fulfilled ever since.
Let me remind you that on the website, derekprince.org, you'll find some clips of Derek's own experiences with these different gifts he's describing. And today, if you log on to the website, you'll find Derek describing his own experience with the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now listen, the last thing we want is that we just simply teach this series, put it out on the air, have Derek's words going out over the broadcast, and not bring it home to practical experience. So I want to pray for you now to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the release of tongues. And it's a very simple thing. Let's just bow our heads wherever you are. If you can, bow your head. And if you can't bow your head now, you're driving or you're with people, maybe you're listening on a podcast, this can be done later. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray very simply that you will look out over this nation, over this earth, for those whose hearts are hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that endowment of power from on high, that you will grant them right now the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, there will be a release, a great gushing forth of the gift of tongues, that biblical gift that you promise in Scripture. And that, Lord God, they will have the language of men and angels to praise you, to worship you, and to move in the gifts that you've ordained for them. Do it now, Father, we ask, in Jesus' name. Now listen, if you don't think anything happened, keep praying these words. Keep going before the Lord. He wants his children to have his gifts. He's a loving Father. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again next week as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's new book, You Shall Receive Power, available to Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners for only $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take a moment to jot down our toll-free number, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.